Welcome to Next Gen Mentoring Forum. The Next Gen Mentoring Forum series is to empower, educate, and illuminate individuals who are interested in financial planning industry. At each forum, an expert will discuss the topic in the field of financial planning with the purpose of inspiring critical thought and discussion. In today's session, I will interview Dr. Darlene Barbera about how to enhance diverse environment to grow your practice. My name is Dr. Jolly Jen. I am a Program Director of Financial Planning at California Lutheran University School of Management. I maintain an active financial planning practice specializing in succession program management, and I've authored 3 award-winning books, most recently a peer-reviewed research book by Pellgrant Macmillan. The title is Enhancing Retirement Success Rates in United States. Next Gen Mentoring Forum is sponsored by California Lutheran University School of Management Financial Planning Program. We offer MBA in financial planning that helps financial advisor pursue a leadership position of growing their financial planning practice by deploying advanced financial planning, effective client communication counseling, and streamlined practice management, as well as leveraging FinTech. I am very honored to interview Dr. Darlene Barbera, who developed many outstanding advisors in the industry. Her executive role in the past, including Vice President of GAMA, in case of anyone who doesn't know the organization, GAMA International, and the Regional Director of Waddell and Reed in the Southern California. Most recently, Women in Insurance and Financial Services named Dr. Barbera Women of the Year. Dr. Barbera has co-authored 2 outstanding books, and you can see that on the screen, Women Matter, The Why and How of Gender Diversity in Financial Services, and What You Can Do When You Can't, 21 Days to Personal Success. Her doctoral dissertation covered financial literacy for women and the role of financial education. Dr. Barbera is a business coach, consultant, and professor. And so welcome, Dr. Barbera, for coming into, returning to our webinar session today. So there are a lot of talks about diversity, and I wanted to get your opinion about what do you think diversity actually means?
Well, and thank you for having me here today, Dr. Jen. It is a pleasure to be included in a discussion so important and certainly prevalent as it is now. And certainly I'm so pleased to be part of the financial planning community because I feel that when we speak of diversity and inclusion, and you know, we tend to have these 2 words together in tandem, diversity and inclusion, there is no better profession than ours to address it and make such a difference. And indeed, historically, just by the nature of what we do as financial advisors, we address diversity and inclusion every day. So diversity, well, when I think of the word diversity, I think of diverse and I think about different. And, you know, when we, as you said, I got my doctorate and in my doctoral studies, so kind of like an academic answer first, we think about areas of awareness, right, and diversity. So we think of demographics. So we tended to break diversity into 8 key analytical constructs. So we thought in terms of race, ethnicity, gender, ability, sexual orientation, religious affiliation, age, and socioeconomic status. But the important part of that is that importantly, when we effectively address diversity, we are engaged in a respectful and engaged conversation with people that's meaningful, thoughtful, and discusses solutions to problems, and we focus on strengths. So how does this apply to financial advisors? Well, doesn't this just sound like what we do every day? Financial advisors, they engage clients in meaningful, thoughtful discussions to solve problems. So when I think of diversity, my mind goes to the inclusion, because this is what, as we think about solutions, and I'm probably jumping ahead, it is the visibility and recognition that we are all special and we are parts of so many different demographics, and that makes who we are, and who we are matters, and it's so special. But the important part is that clients can see themselves in our practices, that they feel welcome, that our diversity and our inclusion is visible. So indeed, an inclusive environment that is diverse is prerequisite for a solid planner advisory relationship. So, you know, we think in terms of who is this client? How can we serve them best? So that's what I think diversity means.
So thank you. And let me kind of summarize what I heard. So what you're saying is that diversity oftentimes gets kind of typecast, if you will, within that 8 different categories you mentioned, could be race, gender, what age, and so on and so forth. But I think that what you addressed was the inclusion part. And from a client perspective, client needs to feel welcome. And clients actually can see through very quickly if your practice has diversity or inclusion at all. And I recall attending a conference last week. The people are talking about, well, just having a seat at the table is not necessarily enough, right? Diverse inclusion is not necessarily enough. And the word came out next was belongingness. And that was something that I was actually kind of surprised to hear, because we are no longer talking about just from diversity from 8 different categories or inclusion, but also at the same time looking at the belongingness. And I'm glad that you mentioned about how the clients come into the picture in terms of feeling welcome. Can you give us some example about what does it mean by having client feel like they are welcome?
Well, you know, I think the word community is the thing that comes to my mind first. And as financial advisors, the financial planning profession, we do such a good job of really creating community on purpose. I think clients want to feel like when they walk in your door, or whether that is physically and perhaps not physically right now, certainly with the pandemic. So when they walk in your door, whether it's virtually, physically, or emotionally, that you get them, that you get the client. And then also that the client wants to feel like they get that financial advisor. And we do that through creating a sense of community. I mean, I'll share with you a quick example that is not as deep as we need to go with this conversation, but throughout my years as being a managing principal, we took about, well, at least 5,000, maybe closer to 6,000 clients to baseball games, to the Dodgers, Angels, Padres. We created this community of baseball followers from our client base, and they expected to go to the ball games. Now, we had a great time, and we actually created this sense of community around baseball. We also took probably more than 2,000, probably a little under 3,000 clients to hockey games, Ducks and the Kings. So there was our other community of our hockey players, our hockey fans. So those are lighter communities of clients, but we definitely created the sense of community where everyone belonged. So, I mean, that's just kind of a fun way to think about community, but probably on a more serious note, you know, we do create community, sometimes on purpose, sometimes deliberately, but we need to create community definitely on purpose so that when a client becomes part of our community, they have no doubt that not only do they belong, as you said, and they have a seat at the table, because when they are our client and they come to our office home, it is now their table, right? And in fact, with the pandemic, I think about creating community has been, although the pandemic has been difficult, the advisors that I'm able to visit with have been able to expand their community feel for their clients because they are Zooming with their clients. They are not only clients feeling like they're part of their community, but now with Zoom and being able to come into the client's home so often and frequently, the advisor has been able to become part of that client's home community, in fact. And if you think about before COVID, and some companies didn't even allow video conferencing, that wasn't even compliant. Well, now it's compliant. And, you know, I think about how many times do advice, you know, you an advisor can ask themselves, how many times have I been to my client's home? Well, maybe they went once at the beginning to get a feel for the home environment, or maybe they've never gone, or maybe they went to their office to get a feel for the professional office, but maybe the client only came to the advisor's office. Well, now with COVID, and I have observed that clients will say yes as often as you want to ask them, would you like to have a Zoom call? Or a call. Not all clients Zoom, but a vast majority, I think, do. But the advisors have really been able to keep that connection and maybe make it even more so. I mean, I know advisors who, throughout the pandemic, they will just schedule Zoom calls to say to the client, how are you? Are you okay? And so keeping that sense of community where what the client feels is the inclusion, where it's client-centric, where it's all about them. And that is kind of a long answer. I am so sorry, but I get so passionate about the critical role that financial advisors play in being able to create and keep community. And we do that through that inclusive nature of that client-centric relationship. And advisors are doing it.
And I think that you point out several things that I thought is really key, especially for young advisors who were newbies coming into the industry. And that is your first community example was talking about baseball, hockeys. And these are things that I remember that even though I didn't have that kind of community with my clients, but my clients and I actually have a community of doing food bank and, you know, volunteer work together in yes. community. And so that, you know, whatever that community that you feel like is tour your clientele, obviously every client group that you service may have a different needs. And so I think that that's really key. So community of creating that activities to do things together. And yes, you're right, in this environment might be very difficult. The second thing that you mentioned about the connections, connection is part of the inclusion solution, where whether or not just by calling somebody asking, are you okay? Because in this environment, everyone has been working at home and somewhat isolated. Having a sudden phone call coming in certainly will be very, very well received. I recall that one of my friend who is an advisor out in Maryland area, she actually that's all she's been doing, calling clients, making sure clients are doing okay, even though there's not necessarily anything that she could do to help with the current environment, but just having that touch does make a huge difference in terms of the sense of the communities. So thank you so much for giving us that two different examples. But one of the things that I'm actually very curious about, for example, University of Illinois have teamed up with probably another 15, 16 university together. They had something called Financial Planning Spectacular Day. That was just last week. And then University of Akron has 30 some other university, including us here in California, Lutheran University, had a diversity talk. And pretty soon in November, we are going back to the CFP Board's Diversity Summit. I felt like there was so much talk in the industry. Can you give us some idea of What could we actually do besides all these talks?
Well, and you know, you and I having our doctorates, we probably like research more than the average person perhaps and enjoy it. So when you think about, to your point, diversity and inclusion, you can go get lost in the weeds through so much research, but we really, to your point, and I so appreciate, we must come up for air and say, how do we apply this to our practices? What can we do? How simple can we make it? And we just have to keep it simple and a real can do. So with that being said, I think that, you know, the most successful advisors that I observe are ones that definitely have a people first perspective to their planning practices. So that works where it's not the product first and it's not the problem first. It's really about the person first, right? It's like when we call during COVID and say, so how are you? Are you okay? And then listen. So it's that skill set that being the good listener. And in fact, gosh, when I was trained forever ago, I was taught that we have two ears and one mouth and we should use them in that ratio, right? Listen twice as much as you speak. Well, I think as we read research now, it's actually changed. It's more like 3 to 4 to 1 that we should listen maybe 4 times as much as we speak. So, and that's really important. I think that this topic is so pronounced at this time of uncertainty for clients and folks. And it's also a great time through using these really pandemic sensitive, being pandemic sensitive to what people are, what's going on for them. And then using our really, what are the best practices, the skills of the great financial advisors. Let's just apply more of what we're already doing and let's not forget what works. And that is listening. It's having an integrative approach to your financial planning practice where we focus certainly on the exterior aspects of financial planning, which is the quantitative data, because we have to have that, goodness knows, in order to develop plans, implement them and continue to execute on them throughout time to accomplish clients' goals and objectives. The exterior is critical, but the driver needs to be that interior, that qualitative component. And financial advisors do a great job of that. We just need to do more of it and make sure that the clients know that what's important about money to them, what's important about the kids going to college to them, what's important about retiring by 68 and a half years old, whatever the topic, whatever is important about that to them is the number one thing that's important to us too. And that we are going to build a plan around it. I'll tell you, I've seen so many advisors who keep what they do sort of a secret from their clients. We need to let them know that the way we develop their plans is around what's important to them. Because, you know, as advisors, and I have a degree in math, I love numbers and math, but I'll tell you, we can't really share that joy with clients until we share the joy of understanding why is this just the perfect plan for them based on who they are and what they've shared with us. So being able to really focus on the qualitative components at this time, maybe more than ever. So
yeah, I
that's
agree.
One thing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for emphasizing that. There are a couple of things that I heard from you saying, and I, you know, one of the important thing is that when you work with clients, obviously we spend lots and lots of time listening, but they're talking to us, but we have to listen well. Mm-hmm. And when you say that, you know, 4 times versus 1, and that's absolutely right, because it is clients' meeting. And listen well is very difficult to do. I remember that I have recently came across another advisor that I work with, that she accidentally told the client, so when are you going to go move forward with that particular product? I guess she forgot to ask about the client, what is bothering you? What's the reason to consider a certain type of strategies? But I guess listening, one of the things that I meant to ask you was, do you have any advice in terms of how can advisor listen well? I think that's easy to say than done. Do you have any suggestion for that?
I do. which maybe that's not a surprise to you. You know, listening is quite an art. And it's the communication skill set that we need to be a good student of as an advisor. So it could be even a little more than just listening. I think it's how do you ask the questions so that it gives you the answer that you need that gets you where you want to go. Someone asked me just the other day, they said, well, but I said to my client, how's it going? And they said, great. So what do I do next? So I said, well, you might ask them, help me understand, what does great mean? What was great? I said, ask them to explain it to you. So just keep asking more questions until you really have a clear picture of what was so great. And I think we have to, with this listening, be sure to ask about not just what's bothering you or, gosh, are you okay with the dark cloud? But let's have the bright sunshine too. Let's make sure that, and especially right now with COVID, let's bring clients back to remembering they had hopes and dreams, and we can still plan for those. We are still on a journey and on a track to implementing these hopes and dreams. So that did not go away, that we're still there with them. So listening is an art. I think communication is critical. You know, it's you end up with the encoding, messaging and decoding process. So I think for advisors to think about, when I say something, was my message clear and did it get received correctly? Likewise, when the client says something, am I sure I understand the message and am I receiving it correctly? So to always be a student of that 1-2-3 process and to not say to a client, when are you going to buy that? I mean, that's because people like to, you know, they don't want to get sold. So, but that would be, the question should have been framed in terms of the person and not the product, right? I think that's probably your point. So we have to just keep everything person-centric.
And I think that you're right. Listening well does come in the skill of what are you asking, right? Mm-hmm. I remember long time ago, I had a client that specifically tells me that after the plan, the very first thing that they want to do is to buy a long-term care insurance. And at the time, I did ask them, why is that important? But I didn't have a follow-up question. I think that was my mistake. About 2 years later, long story short, at the time I decided, I went through the qualitative side, the number side, and affirmed them that they don't really need to have a long-term care insurance based on their situation. But 2 years after that, I was engaging in some sort of project, and I went back and asked them the same question. This time, because maybe 2 years passed, I had a little bit more experience, I started to ask much deeper questions, and I realized that I made a mistake 2 years ago, that I didn't ask follow-up questions, and then ended up learning a whole lot more about the reason they're asking for long-term care insurance. And I think that perhaps comes in experience and practice and all that. And asking good questions, confirming what client's saying, it's all sorts of the decoding that you just mentioned. It does take some time. So thank you very much for giving us that guideline, best practices in terms of listening. I'm going to switch gear of talking about clients for a moment. We have talked about previously that, you know, in an uncertainty time, any kind of communication besides the product, besides the numbers, letting client know that you care does make a big difference. But from a diversity and inclusion perspective, will the client actually demand to have a diverse practice to work with? What do you think?
Well, I want to say yes, because by the way that we are speaking about diversity and inclusion, it's that being part of the community. And indeed, a client should expect to be part of that planner's community. And they should expect several things. They should expect to be put first as a person. They should expect the planner to advocate for them as an individual, right to understand where are they, where do they want to go, and have a plan to get there and then implement along the way with them until they arrive at their destination, which